Lord, you have given into our hands the very tools of heaven to fight against the enemy of our souls. Please grant us the wisdom, courage, and perseverance to fight against the forces that would strip us of our faith, hope, and our very souls, if it were possible. Thank you for teaching us of these weapons, and always for the angels who so faithfully fight for us and beside us. Amen. When Jesus first told Claire of the basic three swords we've learned about, he told her this about them. My children, I want you to use these swords every single day. Why? Because every single day there are assignments on you, there are seals on you, and coverings that you must rip off and take authority of. Some of the curses you have been suffering with are in the form of blocks, seals, energy curtains between you and I. Yes, they cover you with their weapons in the form of energy fields, and they make it harder for you to connect with me. They feed you lies 24/7 about how unworthy you are to hear and see me. Be assured that if you wield these swords correctly, those will be broken and ripped off. Do it with conviction and disgust, for these things are disgusting to me. And then Jesus taught us how to take the routing sword and the truth sword and cross them over each other to form a healing sword. Jesus began again, the third dynamic you may use with these swords is to cross them over an area of the body that needs healing. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, spirit of infirmity, leave this body now and do not return. You may also pray against them, sending in reinforcements. There is no one formula that works every time. Demons are like a virus. They continue to mutate to get around these prayers. You must be alert and aware of what they are trying to do. For instance, if they try to come back, you have to forbid them. Many of you have lost healings by receiving lying symptoms back into your bodies after I have cleansed it and delivered you. Lying symptoms, if you go into agreement with them, open the door for disease to return. Resist them with solid conviction and the sword. Much of the power of these swords depends on you using them correctly with conviction. Ask Holy Spirit to instruct you to open your eyes. Take your time and rest so that your head can be cleared to see what is going on in the spirit. Ask for these graces, my children. You need them. Ask for them. And keep on asking. Ask until you are satisfied and moving in the fullness of what I have given you. Pray also in the Spirit. Pray much in the Spirit. If you are blocked in speaking in tongues, use the routing sword. Press in and do not give up. I am releasing great healing gifts for a revival, but so much depends on your faith and perseverance. Will you persevere? Will you continue to contend? Will you, with all your heart, believe that I have given you these swords and their power is limited only by your belief in me, my faithfulness, my almighty power to overcome all the powers of darkness? Invest yourself in these swords. Put the demand on them. I love to see your faith stretch. I love to see you contend and not settle for second best or nothing at all. Ask me to help your courage and faith and will. Claire has very often used the healing sword combination to pray over Ezekiel when he is in pain and suffering. She has found it drives away at least the excess demons that are causing pain to be more severe than the Lord had given him to bear in the first place. Another of our prayer team wrote to tell me what Holy Spirit had been teaching him about the healing sword. He began, "It looks like a short sword, with an emerald green rainbow radiating from it. It's very warm. It can be waved over an afflicted area to heal and relieve pain. It can be suspended in a room with someone who is ill to strengthen them and bring healing to them. While suspended, it amplifies prayer for healing. While suspended, it radiates God's love and grace over the patient and radiates an atmosphere of emotional and physical healing, peace, clarity, and forgiveness. It is useful to suspend in the room during important conversations, meetings, etc., for healing broken relationships. It binds up spirits of gossip and loneliness, and it helps promote intimacy with Jesus. Another formation Holy Spirit has shown to me is to hold the Spirit sword upright in my left hand and take a routing sword and fuse it to the right side of the Spirit sword. He called this a charger sword. I've only so far been asked to use it once, but it was used to encircle a gang of demons, holding them in place with the power of the sword of the Spirit to bind. Then he taught me, if I take this charger sword and to the left side meld a truth sword, I now have what has been called a dragon slayer sword. I have been directed to use that against dragons when asked. So far this has only been on two occasions, but I'll put my journal entry here of what happened during that time. It was during a period of warfare where the Lord had revealed some strongholds in my life that were formed even before I was born by my ancestors, and the demons through my own times of sin had opened these strongholds further and further and further. He had been leading me at this time to get them all cleaned out so he could tear the strongholds down. Each time he called me into warfare directly with these, I would find myself in a dark cave, like a cavern, to face them, and then Holy Spirit would direct me as to what to do. This is from my journal entry of March 9th of 2019. Ezekiel had called me in suffering, and nearly the moment I heard his voice, I entered in too. I was praying quietly in tongues. Claire came in to pray over him too, and he drew the word enemies from the Bible promises. I was immediately in the cavern again. Standing before me was a dark dragon. I wanted to make sure this wasn't all just some projection from a demon. I had already encircled the Bible promise book with holy fire, and I asked Holy Spirit, "Is this the truth, what I'm seeing?" And I turned to the pages of Holy Spirit. So I asked him, "What do I do with this creature?" He told me to join the routing and spirit swords, as he has shown me before, to form a charger, but to also take the sword of truth and add it to them. As I took that sword up, he asked me to turn the joined swords and add this to the left side of the spirit sword, and they all fused, clearly, the spirit sword in the middle taller than the other two, but the others melded to it on either side. I asked him, "Now what do I do with it?" I'm not just sure what happened. I didn't actually throw it, but I did see it drive right into the heart of the dragon. And after a moment, light came and burst out of its chest cavity. It deflated the dragon, as though I had thrown this sword into a balloon or a bubble. I saw its head wavering on its neck, and then it fell to the ground. I didn't see what happened next, but Emmanuel, my guardian angel, is the head of my clean-up crew, and he knows how much I don't like to see the mess these swords make, and I know he must have taken care of the mess for me. I took the routing sword now to go and help Ezekiel and Claire, and I sent holy fire around them and around their house, but my attention was drawn to the roof over their heads. The angelic globe of protection was there, intact, but laying on it was another huge dragon, only this time he had a rider. It, too, was black and in armor, holding a sword and shield. So again I asked Holy Spirit, "Is this a true vision?" And the Bible promises again gave me Holy Spirit. So he told me to handle this one just a little differently. I took another routing sword from the scabbard. Thank you, Ezekiel, for telling me they instantly replace. I was thinking about that yesterday. How like heaven for that to be. In heaven you pick a fruit and another one instantly appears. So why not swords? Again, there was no fear in this. I knew my Lord was totally in control. I stood before these creatures and sent the routing sword holy fire against it. It sliced the head of the rider off first. I saw it fall backwards. Then it came around again and sliced it through the middle at the waist. Now the dragon slayer sword drove deep into the heart of the dragon, and it all burst into light. All I could see at the end was the remains of the dragon. It was like a thick black goo, like tar melted over the dome of protection over their house. It is my prayer that you never need to face a dragon or other such creature. But we are finding out that just forming this sword and sending it out at Holy Spirit's direction is not unusual. More often than not, since that first time, whenever I am directed to form this more powerful sword, I am to simply hand it over to one of my angels, or send it with them, and then just pray behind what they do. I think that might be because I have an abhorrence to violence, and I don't really want to be the one swinging things around. But I don't know about that either. It could be because he doesn't want me to garner any sense of pride, which I abhor, in the idea that I actually have something to do with this beyond being an extension of his arm in using these tools. There is one other interesting formation of swords that I wanted to share with you from another one of the prayer warriors, and this is what she said. Regarding the swords, I know in my dreams or visions, I have put the routing and discerning sword together, sword point to sword point, and it has become a bow. I felt that the arrows that this used were to hit a certain target, either demonic to get them off people, or to hit a soul with strength, love, encouragement, grace, mercy, truth, joy, many things. I felt that the arrows for encouragement of a soul in hard times would also make things harder for any demonic oppression on that soul for the moment. I don't know for who these were for, since it's a long-range weapon, and it's only guided by Holy Spirit where and when to hit. All I know is that the arrows were blessings to souls, no matter what state they're in. They were a deterrent to the demons. In closing, I want to remind you of just a couple very important things about the swords that must be remembered. Do not just draw a sword and go charging in the flesh after demons willy-nilly, either out of fear or exuberance. God is never in a rush. He will train you at the pace you can absorb in these things, so don't run ahead of him. He is in total control of all of it, of whether they're even allowed to approach you or not in the first place. One of the other prayer warriors just wrote to me that she found out the same things. We never have to panic or try to control anything or do anything he hasn't let us in first. No matter what it looks like to us, never fear. He is in control. The second thing I've found is that Holy Spirit is a kind and wonderful teacher, but he is also very fond of the test. No matter how intimidating a demon may appear to you, never is there a need to be afraid. Fear is one of the strongest elements the demons literally feed on. I've seen them drinking from fear that they produced in me, literally. Anything negative produces the food they feed on. Anger, irritation, go right on down the list of every negative emotion that we have. What Natan, the Jewish boy that went to heaven, said is absolutely true. Every little thing negative is a big deal in heaven. Every little thing negative is food for the demons to feed on. Every little positive thing is a big deal in heaven. Every bit of faith and trust in our Lord is a huge aid in defending us against these things. Several of us have been faced with what appeared to be huge demons, only to find out they were really very, very small, holding projection machines to make themselves look big. I tried to dispatch one like this with a routing sword once. It came up beside me and looked like it towered way above me. And as I looked at it and said to Holy Spirit, "What do I do?" He said, "Use your sword." I did, and it went through absolutely nothing but fog. And when the fog cleared, here standing to my left, no bigger than a cockroach, was a demon holding a little machine aimed at itself, projecting to me an image 100 times larger than it really was. This is the truth of most of what fights against us. Jesus once taught us that most of them truly are very small, and we know that no matter how big they really are, they are always totally in the control of our Jesus, King of Kings, Victor over all. May the Lord bless you, dear heart dwellers. May He lead you, and may you follow carefully in His steps as He trains us to fight against the evil in this world, not only for our own sakes, but for those we love, for those around this world. May the Lord bless you.